Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. You're now listening to another life-changing message from Pastor Tony Williams.
Fear has no choice but to bow. Chains have no choice but to break. In his presence, church. Hallelujah. Oh, God. You know, it's what I'm speaking on. Well, I think this is what I'm going to speak on tonight. We might be the temple. Well, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word of God clearly says. But we need to appreciate that our role as a temple of the Holy Spirit is not to conceal the Spirit, but to reveal the Spirit. Amen, church. We need to be revealers of the Spirit of God. And if he has to beat down the doors of our heart, if he has to burst through the windows of our lives, let him do so. Our world doesn't need closet Christians. I'm not talking about Christians who are in the prayer closet like we've just heard. That's a different kind of Christian who's a closet Christian. We don't need undercover Christianity. Even in the midst of all that's happening right now in our present age, with persecution, with Christians being publicly humiliated, with Christians being publicly assaulted by government organizations, by police. And we're not talking about, you know, some country in a third world country. No, we're talking about developed nations, even in our own nation. This is not the time for the church of Jesus Christ to be a shrinking violet. Amen. And for us to go into hiding.
Come on.
Because persecution isn't coming, church. Persecution is here. Amen. It is here. And we have got to be ready for it. We have got to be ready for it. And we have to just simply recognize Satan's strategy. How he systematically tries to break you down. How he comes with fear and lies and deception. But we thank God for the truth of his word. I'm so terrified to look at the oh Lord. How great is my God. Oh, sing with me, church. I need the greatness of the Lord. You know, it's good to give the Holy Spirit time to do what he needs to do. I'm going to share this word, and I'm going to do it in the time allocated. And by the grace of God, we will have a great time this morning. We already have, and he is here. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you for your presence. Lord, we love you so much. Help me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of my message is the Holy Spirit and you. The Holy Spirit and you. Now, in order for the church to play its part in God's plan for the redemption of all humanity, every single believer, each and every single follower of Christ that makes up the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, must accomplish his or her earthly mission and fulfill his or her eternal purpose without any exceptions. Without any exceptions. Your mission, church, should you wish to accept it, is a supernatural mission that has been assigned to you by a supernatural God.
Amen.
God the Father is fully aware of the fact that it would be impossible for mere mortals to accomplish such a mission without his help. Therefore, in response to this need, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 5 to 7 says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus is now encouraging his disciples by telling them he is about to be crucified. He is about to be taken away from them, the person who was literally their life and soul for 3.5 years, spent quality time with them, taught them as much as he could have done in that time, led them, fed them, corrected them, rebuked them, empowered them, imparted into them wonderful glories of the kingdom of heaven. And they witnessed firsthand the wonderful things that he did. And now all of a sudden, he is telling them that his time to depart had come. Naturally, sorrow will fill their hearts, but he gave them an assurance and a reassurance that it was to their advantage that he would go away, because in going away, he would send someone else, and I'll touch on that shortly. So as already mentioned, our mission is a supernatural one. It is a very important and significant mission, one that is both specific to the whole of the church, but also one that is unique to every single believer. This mission is one of redemption and reconciliation. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 19 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Someone say amen.
Amen.
"Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." Thank you, my Lord. "And has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we must understand that ultimately Jesus is the only one who by the power of his spirit can truly reconcile a lost sheep back to its owner, who can truly reconcile a lost son or a lost daughter back to their father. He is the only one who ultimately has the power to do that. But the moment you are saved, you partner with him in this incredible, incredible mission of bringing people back into that place of relationship with their Heavenly Father, just as you were brought into relationship, back into relationship with your Heavenly Father. We were once estranged from him. We were once enemies of God. We were his enemies. Yet he still loved us enough to say, I'm going to die for you. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to bring you to myself, to bring you back home. And now that we're home, he's saying, turn around. Turn around and look around you. See how many of my lost children are out there. See how many of my lost children need to be reconciled with me once again, just as you were. This, in a nutshell, is the commission of the ministry of reconciliation, both male and female, young and old. There are no exceptions. Amen, church.
Amen.
So therefore, if we are to successfully complete our mission, God the Holy Spirit must become the most important person in our lives. Wow. The Holy Spirit must now become the most important person in our lives. What a statement. Alas, for some in the church, he is the least important and the most ignored. So the question now is, how important is the Holy Spirit to you? Let's remind ourselves again of what Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." I will send him to you. Now, there are a number of things that we need to do in order for the Holy Spirit to become the most important person in our life. But the purpose of this teaching, for the purpose of this teaching, we will look at just four things. And if you're taking notes, you are going to get the notes, the outline of the notes. But if you are taking notes now, these are the four things I want to share with you. The first thing we need to do is we need to honor the presence of the Holy Spirit. We kind of demonstrated that in the last 20 minutes or so. But it's more than what we've just done. We need to honor the presence of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is we need to acknowledge the personality of the Holy Spirit. The third thing is we need to understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. So we start with the first one, honoring the presence of the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 in the Amplified reads, "Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive and remain with man forever, because he is indeed flesh, sinful, corrupt, given over to sensual appetites. Nevertheless, his days shall yet be 120 years. Now, this was, of course, the time of Noah. The world was gradually plummeting into incredible darkness and immorality was reigning. There was chaos. There was interbreeding with unknown species. Strange and incredible things were happening. And the hearts of man were growing colder and colder and harder and harder. And as a result of that, humanity was given over to its sensual appetites. And the Lord said, my spirit is not going to abide in such a place. My spirit is not going to remain in such an environment. Because I am a holy spirit. I'm going to touch on that shortly. So I am not going to strive with you, you know, anymore. I am going to limit the length of time that you are physically on this earth because you are causing too much damage. And you know something, church? Oh, Lord, help me say this right. We need to be very, very careful as we number our days. Every single breath that you have is a gift from God. Every single second that you have has been loaned to you by God. The one thing, and there are a few things, but the one key thing that guarantees longevity in life is obedience. Amen. You want to live a long life, obey God. Amen. Walk with God and obey him. There are too many brothers and sisters who die too young and before their time. It should not be allowed. You want to have the fullness of life. For with long life shall he satisfy me and show me his salvation. Amen. Why? Because he is my shepherd. I recognize him to be my shepherd. If I am going to be an obedient sheep, he will lead me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will lead me along the waters of rest. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil because my shepherd is with me. I am an obedient sheep. I'm not running off doing my own thing, my own way. Can you see that with me this morning, church? I'm not going off having my own ideas. But I'm simply saying, Lord, wherever you are, I choose to be. Wherever you go, I choose to go. Whatever you're doing, I choose to do. Because then, even in the presence of my enemies, you will prepare a feast. I will eat and I will be satisfied with the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You will anoint my head with your precious oil, the oil of gladness, the person of your spirit. And my cup will continually overflow. And with long life shall you satisfy me and show me your salvation. Cancer can't kill me. Heart disease can't kill me. Diabetes can't kill me. any sickness, any disease hasn't got the audacity or the authority to remove me from this world until my time has come to stand before my Jesus. Can you see that with me this morning? If we can honor God, obey him. He says, I won't strive with you any longer. Well, that was 5 minutes I didn't account for. To honor someone, oh, church, we got to honor his presence. Yes. To honor someone means to highly respect or esteem them. But before we can even approach the subject of honoring the presence of the Holy Spirit, we need to fully accept that he is worth such honor. And church, he is. He is indeed worth the highest honor. Because, why? Because he is God Almighty. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one and the same Amen. God. Just in case you didn't know, I wanted to just clarify that with you. The theologian Henry Blackaby said this: when God spoke to Moses and others in the Old Testament, those events were encounters with God. An encounter with Jesus was an encounter with God for the disciples. In the same way, an encounter with the Holy Spirit is an encounter with God for you. Jesus then promises again his disciples. He gives them this promise in John 14, 15 to 16. If you love me, here we go. If you love me, keep my commandments, obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. My spirit shall not strive or remain with you. Isn't that what it said? Genesis 6:3. Jesus says, if you obey my commands, if you keep my commands, I will pray. And I will ask the Father to pour out, send forth another helper. That's two beautiful Greek words. Allos parakletos. Allos meaning one besides me, in addition to me, but also just like me. One besides me, in addition to me, but also just like me. Allos parakletos, your helper, your comforter. I'll come to comforter. You know, I'll come to that in a second. Again, let's remind ourselves, John 16:7. Third time I read, because we need to get it into our, it needs to be ingrained into our spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Oh, church, and he has been sent. And he is abiding. He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But honor his presence. Don't take him for granted. Don't take the promise of the Lord for granted. Don't take the gift of the Lord for granted. Honor him. Duncan Campbell, he was a man greatly used by God during the great revival in the Hebridean Islands. And he said the following: the kingdom of God is not going to be advanced by our churches becoming filled with men, but by men in our churches becoming filled with God. Amen. That's why I posted in the week, the Lord just dropped something in my spirit. When the closer Jesus came to the cross, the smaller his congregation became. It's not about numbers, church, just for the sake of numbers. It is about men and women who have been filled with the Spirit of the living God because they honor his presence. It is about men and women who have learned to abide in the presence of Almighty God. Do you know that it is not the fact that you're coming to church this morning that is, you turn up and all of a sudden the presence comes? No, you are carriers of his presence. And of course we know that he promised, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we have that assurance, and there is a dynamic of what happens when we worship. When we worship the Lord, there is an ushering in of his presence. There is an ushering in of his glory. I can't explain how it works. I don't know. Some people say, well, he's always here. Well, that's true, and I'm not disputing that. But all I know is that there is a moment where there is an increment. There is an increase of his glory. And I believe that there is a greater awareness for the child of God. The more we switch off from the world, the more we are switched on to heaven. The more we are disconnected from the world, the more we are connected to heaven. There is something that happens that in that moment that causes us to have a greater awareness of the glory and the presence of Almighty God. Bless you, bro. Bless you, bless you, bless you. So now the question is, how do we honor his presence? I want to share with you three quick things. We honor the presence of the Holy Spirit by giving him our time and our attention. Giving him our time and our attention. The Holy Spirit should be the very first person that you speak to when you wake up in the morning. The Holy Spirit should be the person you speak to the most throughout the day. And the Holy Spirit should be the very last person you speak to before you close your eyes to sleep. Why? Because he is the most important person in your life. So the question is this true for you? Is the Spirit of the Lord the first person you speak to when you wake up and the last person you speak to before you sleep? And is he the person you speak to the most throughout the day? Do you adequately give him your time and your attention? Because he will exchange your attention for his affection. The second way that we can honor the presence of the Lord is through a lifestyle of holiness. So this is why he is called the Holy Spirit. He is holy. So we need to ask ourselves a few more questions. Do our conversations, life choices, and habits honor the presence of the Holy Spirit? Do the things that we entertain ourselves with honor the presence of the Holy Spirit? Proverbs 15:14 in New Living Translation says, "A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash." I am fully convinced that as a follower of Jesus Christ, the things that entertain me, the films and the shows I watch, the music I listen to, and the books I read will indicate and eventually determine how close I am to his Spirit, but more so and more importantly, how close his Spirit is to me. The third way we can honor the presence of the Holy Spirit is by being led by him in obedience to his voice. As children of God, we need to make spiritually based decisions which come out of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We should not make decisions based solely on our emotions, because emotions will lie to you. But the Spirit of God will only tell us the truth and lead us into all truth. It all comes down to whether or not we are led by the Spirit or we are being led by the flesh. So why is this important? Why is it so important for us to honor the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our homes, in our churches? Because if we don't honor him, he will withdraw. His glory will depart. We will become not just an Ichabod church, but an Ichabod people. And you are a child of God who has been washed in the blood of Jesus for the sole purpose of becoming his home. He cleans you out so that he can live in you. And the last thing we need to do is start messing up again. Of course there is mercy, of course there is forgiveness, and of course there is grace. But this transaction is a transaction of love, and it causes us to be a people to become account who must become accountable for our actions. And church, we need to be accountable here and now, because we don't want to be accountable then. We need to judge ourselves now, because we don't want to judge ourselves before the Bema seat, or get judged before the Bema seat. He wants to dwell among us. And as he does dwell among us, wow, he will do what only he can do. And he will speak what only he can speak. I will only cover the second point and then I'll finish, because I would like for us to have a time of ministry this morning. Now, we've looked at honoring the presence of the Holy Spirit. And actually, because I'm not going to be able to finish my teaching this morning, we are going to have to make the notes available to you. It's important that you have the full notes. But we looked at honoring the presence of the Holy Spirit as the first thing that we've got to do if he is to become the most important person to us. The second thing that we need to do is we need to acknowledge the personality of the Holy Spirit. We need to acknowledge the personality of the Holy Spirit. See, as we learn to honor the presence of the Holy Spirit, we will also learn to acknowledge his personality. In other words, we will come to know him as a person. What makes you a person? Do your physical attributes make you a person? Does the fact that you have hands and feet and eyes and ears and hair and so on and so forth make you a person? I don't think so. I would like to suggest to you that what makes you a person today is simply one thing. You have a personality. The English dictionary defines personality as the combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual's distinctive character. Therefore, you are a person because you have a combination of characteristics or qualities that form your distinctive character, a character that is unique and specific to you. You are a person because you have feelings, emotions, intellect, and a will. You can make choices. You can make decisions. And these attributes serve to determine what your personality is, good or bad. And because you are a person, you are not an object. Therefore, you are not referred to as it, because you are a person. The English dictionary defines the word it as something that is an object or a lifeless thing. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is not an it. Amen. He is a person. Just as the Father is a person and the Son is a person, we will never refer to the Father or the Son as it. So likewise, we must never refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Referring to the Holy Spirit as it indicates one thing. We don't truly honor his presence. Because when you truly honor his presence, you will know him as a person. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a ghost. He is not a mere force or power. He is not fire. He is like fire. He is not oil. He is like oil. He is not a dove. He is like a dove. He is not the wind. He is like the wind. Well, you say, well, Pastor Tony, doesn't it say that he is Ruach HaKadosh or Ruach Adonai? He is. But we got to understand the meaning of the word Ruach. Ruach is not just breath or wind. Ruach speaks of the very essence of who God is. So when he breathes his Ruach, he is breathing out or pouring out the very essence, the completeness, the fullness of who he is, God. So it's not just wind. He is a person. He has feelings. We won't have time to look at the text. Acts 13:52 shows us that the Holy Spirit can be full of joy. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit has emotions. Ephesians 4:30, it demonstrates that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He has intellect. Of course, Isaiah 2 says that he is a spirit of wisdom, of knowledge, and of understanding. And of course, he is the omniscient God. He knows everything. So of course, he has intellect. And he has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11 speaks about in context how the Holy Spirit distributes his gifts to the body of Christ according to his will. So why is it important to know the Holy Spirit as a person? It is important to know the Holy Spirit as a person quite simply because you can't have a relationship with an object or a thing. Well, you can, but it will be a little bit strange talking to a chair and saying to that chair, "Hi, you are my best friend." I did come across a documentary where a guy married his car once. And that's, I'm not making it up, that's sadly the world that we are living in. We need to know him as a person so that we can relate to him and he can relate to us. Hence, we have in 2 Corinthians 13:14, and we pronounce this every day, and we're going to pronounce it again today, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The pastor and theologian R.A. Torrey wrote this: "Do you regard the Holy Spirit as indeed a real person, as Jesus Christ, as loving and wise and strong, as worthy of our confidence and love and surrender as Jesus Christ himself? The Holy Spirit came into this world to be to the disciples of our Lord after his departure and to us what Jesus had been to them during the days of his personal companionship with them." Isn't that wonderful? Is he that to you? Do you know him? Every week in your life, you hear the apostolic benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. But while you hear it, do you take in the significance of it? Do you know the communion of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the partnership of the Holy Spirit, the comradeship of the Holy Spirit, the intimate personal friendship of the Holy Spirit? Herein lies the whole secret of a real Christian life, a life of liberty and joy and power and fullness. To have as one's ever-present friend and to be conscious that one has as his ever-present friend the Holy Spirit, and to surrender one's life in all its departments entirely to his control, this is true Christian living. The doctrine of the personality of the Holy Spirit is as distinctive of the religion that Jesus taught as the doctrines of the deity and the atonement of Christ himself. But it is not enough to believe the doctrine. We must know the Holy Spirit himself. Now, church, if we give him our time and our attention, if we live a lifestyle of holiness, and as we continue to be led by him in obedience to his voice, knowing the Holy Spirit as a person will be the natural result. And in knowing him as a person, we can interact with him and he with us. This is how a close and intimate relationship is formed. Let's have the band back. While the guys are coming back, I want to just conclude by saying this. You will have the notes, and the notes will cover the other two aspects of the purpose and then the power. And tonight I'm going to touch on a couple of other things, if the Lord permits me. I shared with you 2 points this morning that most of you should be aware of. But the question still remains, how much of this is a reality to you? Have you ever stopped to think about this? And if you're truly honest, just to stop to think about this, that the longer we walk with Jesus, the further we get to him. It shouldn't be that way, but in most cases, it is. I'll tell you why it is. Because for some reason, we are hardwired to form a rigidity in our thought processes the older we get, not just in the natural, but also in the spiritual. And God needs to address that. He needs to bring us to that place once again. What place? The place of secrecy, the place of closeness, the place of intimacy. Because that's where it starts. That is the true proof that you are a person who honors the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, it is to your advantage, not just to the 12, but to every single child of God, it is to your advantage that I go through what I'm going through. Because if I don't go through what I'm going through, I cannot come again to you in the person of my Holy Spirit. If I don't willingly give myself to the process of being that kernel of wheat, ready to fall to the ground and die, you cannot experience the fullness of the kingdom. You got to understand that up until that time, they hadn't yet experienced the fullness of the kingdom. But what does Paul say to us in Romans? That the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is not about eating or drinking, but it is about three things: righteousness, peace, and joy. In who? In the person of the Holy Spirit. So he is saying that in the moment he comes, not only to be with you, but to be in you and eventually upon you, you will experience the fullness of the kingdom. You don't get a watered down version of who I am, because wherever Jesus is, therein lies the fullness of the reality of the kingdom of God. And you got to understand that the only way the kingdom of darkness can be overthrown is when it is fully assaulted by a greater kingdom. And in this context, it is the kingdom of heaven. And he says, when I come to dwell with you and I come to dwell in you by the person of my Holy Spirit, you will receive the fullness of the kingdom. But herein lies our issue. If we are not being led by him, then we are being led by someone else or something else. God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows the beginning from the end. He has the map. He has the GPS. He knows where he is going because he's already been there. And he knows where we are going because he has the power and the ability and the knowledge to get us there. It makes no sense to me whatsoever allowing ourselves to be led by impulses, emotions, circumstances, and situations that take us further away from where God needs us to be. We have our agendas, and we really, really believe that they are the Lord's. We have our ideas, and we really, really trust that God has given them to us. But in the meantime, we can't honestly ask ourselves, answer the question, is he the first person you speak to when you wake up in the morning? Do you talk to him throughout the day? And is he the last person that you say, Holy Spirit, I love you, and I pray that you had a great day. I hope you had a great day. That's what I do. I talk to my friend. I say, I hope you had a great day.
Amen.
Because I know you were busy today. I'm living testimony. Look at me. Look at what I put you through. I know what I put you through, Holy Spirit. So I thank you for being patient with me. I thank you for enduring. I thank you for not giving up on me. Because you're my helper. You're my comforter. You're my advocate. You're my intercessor. If you give up on me, I'm lost. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're the only one who can teach me and lead me into all truth. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're the only one who can glorify Christ in me and through me. And in spite of me, you can still glorify my King. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are the only one with the power enabling me to do what you have called me to do. Church, you got to understand that your mission is a supernatural mission given to you by a supernatural God, and it can only be fulfilled by a supernatural spirit, the supernatural power of the Spirit of God. How do you think you're going to do it by yourself? It is impossible. And church, we have to stop kidding ourselves. We, especially those of us who are a bit long in the tooth. Those of us who have been walking with him. When was the last time you experienced that touch of heaven? When was the last time you experienced the caress and the embrace of the Lord God himself? We are busy working. We are busy serving. We are busy doing. We are busy planning. We are busy strategizing. And we are absolutely certain that we are doing what God has called us to do. In the meantime, he is saying, come on. I've been waiting by the waters of rest for the last 3 days. I've been here, allowing the sun I created to bask over me and to prepare the ground for where you and I will have our intimate interaction. I've been waiting in this place of the meadow and the luscious green grass, just waiting for you, my beloved, to come and be with me. We're out here, there, and everywhere doing this, that, and every other thing. And maybe today could be our Selah moment. Maybe in this moment, on Pentecost Sunday, we can meet with him again, and he can meet with us again. Because that is the only way that you and I can once again go out there and be the ministers of reconciliation to those who still need to be reconciled. How can we adequately? We can come with theology and doctrine, experience and know-how. But none of those things can change a person's heart. The only way that someone's life can be changed is by saying to them, I want to introduce you to my best friend. I want to introduce you to the most important person in my life. May God help us this morning. Break down the barriers of pride, experience, know-how. Bring us to a place of humility and brokenness and desperation. We'll see what he does. Let's just give him a moment. Let's bow our heads. First thing we want to do this morning, I know the time is gone and we need to close, but please don't just try not to disrupt this moment, please. The first thing we want to do is I just want to reach out to anyone in this room who is not yet saved, or maybe you're not right with God, maybe you're not where you should be with God. I want you to know this morning that Jesus has paid the price for you. You don't need to continue to live in the condition that you're in right now, spiritually, emotionally, or physically. God loves you, and he has never stopped loving you. So in this moment of quietness, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to bring you yourself to that place where you can say to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, Lord, I recognize you. I see you. I didn't see it before, but I see it now. And I want to give you my life. I want to surrender my life to you. It's called becoming a born-again Christian. It's called crossing over from darkness to light. It's called being taken from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So this morning, if you are ready to give your life to Christ, then I would love for you to pray this simple prayer. This prayer will not save you, but it is a declaration of your commitment to give your life, to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. So if you are ready and you are serious, the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and you want to give your life to Jesus, then pray this prayer with me. And it goes like this. Church, help us up and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. Today, I confess that I have sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I repent and I turn away from my life of sin, and I turn to you, to my new life of hope, of joy, and of peace. Today, Jesus, I give you my life as I acknowledge that you are my Lord and that you are my Savior. I lay everything down. I surrender it all from this day and for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please look up at me. If you prayed that prayer with me, with us, we would love to bless you just by celebrating you and thanking God for what you've just done, because you've done something very, very powerful. The Lord has done something very powerful in you, and you've responded to that. But the other reason why we just need to know you is so that we can give you some information, some literature. So if you prayed that prayer and you truly meant it, could you just raise your hand, please? I mean, we just love to identify you and just give God thanks. Bless you. There's one hand there. Is there anyone else in this place? We just simply want to love you. And anyone else? Come on, let's give God praise. Amen. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. Let's all stand now, please. I won't want to keep it for too long, but I really believe that the Lord wants to do some work with us this morning. He wants to do some business with us. And if you can just give 5 minutes of your time, please, that would be great. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This morning, I just want to simply say to you that if you resonate with anything I've said, you know that in yourself, in your life, you haven't really honored the presence of the Lord as you should have done. You haven't experienced that presence for quite some time, maybe. Maybe the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Spirit of the Lord has become fainter and fainter as time has progressed. Or maybe this morning, not only that, but you haven't connected with Him so much so that you refer to Him as it. That evidence of that disconnection is in place. The fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit has not been something that you have experienced. Maybe you haven't even longed for it. I don't know. But if you know this morning that the Holy Spirit is not so much of a friend, but He's a bit of a stranger, then I really believe that God wants to do something with you this morning. You might have walked with Him for years. You've known Him for years, but as I've said, it's been a strained relationship. Obviously, not on His part, but on your part. And you've been drawing. It's felt like He's always been there. You've always known He's been there, but it's the closeness. It is the intimate closeness with Him that has been missing. He wants to be with you this morning. He wants to love you. He wants to minister to you. This morning, if you're struggling with the fact that you're in discomfort and you need Him to be your comforter, because you got to understand His purpose. When you know Him as a person, then you will acknowledge His purpose. You will understand His purpose. So if you need to know Him today, if you need to acknowledge Him or experience Him this morning as your comforter, if you are in discomfort, He wants to be your comforter. If you need counsel, He wants to be your counselor. He wants to give you a word in season, and He wants to give you a word of wisdom this morning. If you need healing, He wants to be your healer. If you need help, He wants to be your helper. If you feel condemned or judged or accused, this morning, He wants to release you by being your advocate, by being your intercessor. He is the person of the Holy Spirit, and He wants to become the most important person in your life. I've said the appeal has been long and drawn out. I do apologize, but I've only done what I could do. But if the Lord has touched you this morning and you resonate with anything I've said, then please come to the altar now, and let's just wait on the Lord together. Please come, leave where you are, and just come to the altar. And I'm the first one here because I'm already here. Because I need you, Lord. Don't hesitate. Just do what He's asking you to do. When last did you experience His presence? When last did His word, His revelation burn in your hearts, Cleopas and his companions said, didn't his words burn in our hearts as he spoke to us about the things to come? They walked with him for 7 miles. He was veiled. They didn't see him. They didn't know him. Could that be you this morning? Yes, you're saved. Yes, you love Jesus. But life's circumstances have caused him to be veiled. Where he was never meant to be veiled. The presence of the Holy Spirit is something that is not natural to you. We're just going to worship the Lord. I don't know if you guys have a song, but lead us in worship. While they're coming, I know that there's still some who need to come, all right? I can feel it in my heart. It's throbbing. But I'm going to do this anyway. I'm just going to pray the benediction over you. I'm going to close. I'm going to bring this to a close. But please, as you leave, be very, very sensitive to what God is doing this morning. I pray now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be his ministers of reconciliation. Stay in this atmosphere if you can do. If you need to leave, we love you and we bless you, and hopefully we'll see you tonight, because tonight it's going to be different. So God bless you. Guys, lead us in song, please. Let's just wait on the Lord. God bless you. If you still want to come forward, if you still need to meet with the Lord, please come. Don't put it off. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. I haven't given specific appeals this morning because the Lord hasn't led me to do that. So I'm just trusting that he's going to speak to you. If you know you need to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit afresh, you need a fresh touch from God, please come now to the altar. Something needs to happen with your prayer life. Something needs to happen with your study life. Something needs to happen with your witness. Something needs to have with your warfare, your spiritual warfare. He needs to teach you some, you know something? He is going to teach you some things right now. There is a divine exchange, an impartation from heaven, not from man, from heaven, that is going to take place right now. So please, please, please come. This is not for show. This is not, no. I am, this is because I know that he needs to meet with you.